You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome in. We have reached the middle of the week. We are counting down tomorrow night to draft in Kansas City, and there's certainly a lot of speculation and conversation about that. Let's get to some headlines before we get to that conversation. And the quarterback situation at Alabama remains front and center. Matt Hayes asking the question in Saturday Down South, how did Alabama get to the point of needing a late transfer? He surmises that that could mean that Alabama has missed on four scholarship quarterbacks in a row. We don't know that for sure, but that's a speculation from local and national columnists. Should Anthony Richardson's inexperience concern NFL teams? Some believe he could be the number one pick. Nobody we know believes that, but that's certainly been some speculation. Meanwhile, Brian Branch is visiting the Giants, according to the Rappaport. This story from a couple of days ago, he could be a potential first-round pick for the Giants. He's visited the Texans, Commanders, Raiders, Vikings, Lions, Eagles, and Falcons. And now he's visiting us, Brian Branch, considered a surefire number one pick. Played at the University of Alabama, one of the best defensive players in the country. Brian, thank you very much for joining us. I have a feeling at this moment you're probably looking forward to tomorrow, but also a little anxious. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me. So very much anxious.
You bet. You've seen a lot. Tell us about your visits, and I realize you don't get to choose, but you certainly have discovered many NFL clubs are interested in you. How has that gone?
I was going good. The experience has been, you know, a great experience. Got to see the different cultures, you know, how different the teams, how they interact, the staff, how they interact with each other, the players. It's been a real good experience.
When you meet with these clubs, obviously they want to see you. You want to see them. What are the conversations like? If you could share them with us, Brian.
They just want to know where I feel comfortable playing at, rather be nickel or safety. They just want to see, pick my brain on that. But, heck, I feel comfortable playing anywhere they put me. So,
you look like a surefire number one pick. What will tomorrow be like for you? What are you planning on doing? And what will it all entail on one of the biggest days of your life?
Just pretty much, I've been leaving up to God. The story's already written. They already know where I'm gonna go. So just enjoying this process with my family. I'm looking forward to walking across that stage, though. Shaking, and just that experience, you know, I'm looking forward to that.
Brian, I realize you're looking ahead. You're about to become an NFL first-round pick. But as you reflect back on your career at Alabama, what did it mean to you and what stands out?
It meant everything to me. Just the standard. We took pride in that standard. You know, the team, everybody coming together, the chemistry, them boys back at home. I miss them. You know, there's some dogs on that team, and I love that team. I love the coaching staff, Coach Saban. You know, he's the GOAT, the college football, godfather of college football, I feel like. And just being there at Alabama my 3 years, you know, it's been, I don't regret it at all. I've learned so much from that program, and that program just made me want to work even harder, so.
Brian, in practice every day, you had eyes on the man who would likely be the first player taken tomorrow, Bryce Young. What was that experience like being on the back end of the other side, getting a chance to watch him every day?
Bryce is a dog, man. He made me better at my 3 years at Bama. You know, just see how he's the true quarterback, I feel like. Does everything right, you know. Everybody's on the same page on offense when he's on the field. Like, he knows, he has a good feel for the game, and he's one of a kind, I feel like. And just, I know the sky's the limit for him.
I know you had a comment earlier this week that got a lot of attention when you said that an NFL club would be stupid not to take Bryce Young. And you're right. I have a feeling there's not going to be any stupid clubs tomorrow night when he goes number one.
No, sir, not at all. They know. They know.
Before you go, I see Tide behind you. I know you got a couple of people supporting you and helping you get ready. Tell us about that.
I'm with Tide Cleaners right now. You know, I've been rocking with Tide, me and my family, since I was young. They shared that. Just my laundry smell always the freshest. They're going to make sure everything's perfect for on the NFL draft tomorrow. You know, I've been the family.
Yeah, I have a feeling that worked out well, considering you've been a Tide member of the Tide for a long time. Brian, good luck tomorrow night. Everyone here will be pulling for you, and I have a feeling it's going to be a very, very special night. We hope to talk to you again down the road as you get settled with your new club. Good luck.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me as well.
It was our pleasure. Thank you, and all the best to Brian Branch, who is headed for the first round tomorrow in the NFL draft. We'll take a short break here. Get to your phone calls in a moment at 855-242-7285.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
CFP will tackle a number of big issues. Schedule is important. Television contracts, that's all going underway right now in Dallas. List season is out. Who are college football's top 10 running backs for 2023? We asked that question. Blake Corr, remember, he got hurt last year at the end of the season. Judkins for Ole Miss. Sanders. He had a big year. We asked you the question on Twitter, and we'll share some of the responses as we move throughout the program. Kimberly Martin will join us later about the draft, Rittenberg, and Chris Fanini from The Athletic. And your phone call is at 855-242-7285. And Ken is up first. Good afternoon, Ken.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Listen, I got a couple of questions for you. What do you think about all the guys in the portal on Deion Sanders? What's your take on that?
Well, I think it's predictable considering he inherited somebody else's team and made it clear from day one. I don't want most of these guys. So he ran them off. It's as simple as that. It's the new world of college football. And because the scholarship policies are more liberal than they've ever been, he can replace the majority of those guys.
I got you. Well, that was my question, Paul. The next question I want to say is, please, let's don't start this show all talking about getting this clown out of Notre Dame, bringing him to Alabama. Give me a break.
I will give you many breaks. Matt is insane.
Hey, brother. I got a question about Devon Achane. I know we have players in the draft, but when it comes to Devon Achane, which NFL team suits his skill best, or even which team's going to go to, I'm asking you.
Who's your favorite NFL team, Matt?
I gave up on the Cowboys a long time ago, Paul. They suck. Jerry's an idiot.
I think we all did. David is up next. Hey, David, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Happy hump day. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
All right. Awesome. I just got a couple questions for you. I know the one guy just mentioned about a clown, Notre Dame. That's what I wanted to get you. I saw where he was coming to Alabama for a visit, and I wanted to see what you thought about that. And then also, is there any possible way that Bryce and Will and Brian Branch can go 1, 2, 3 tomorrow? And yeah. I'll hang up.
Yeah, David, I don't think there is. I think it's very likely you'll see 1 and 2, but I don't think Branch quite fits into that. Not that he isn't a very talented player. He is. It's just a matter of needs, and quarterbacks will fill up most of the opening spots, with the possible exception of Jalen Carter and Will Anderson. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, I saw the top 5 running backs. Michigan's got 2 in the top 5. I imagine they'll be running the ball this year, do you think?
Don't they always?
I know. Hey, before I get to my question, have you talked to Greeny this week? I mean, he must be on cloud 9 with all the future draft mistakes going out for the Messiah this
yeah,
week. What do you think?
He's doing good. I have talked to him over the weekend, but I can't find him right now. I think he's heading to the draft.
Yeah. Hey, a note. I saw the Georgia litigation on the January 15th incident. The father filed a lawsuit or a notice of it today, which means the mother will file one as well. And apparently, there's a $2 million cap. And as I was reading along, the driver had 4 speeding tickets in the last 6 years. I know when I ran human resources and risk management, we check driver records every year. That's incredible.
Mm, it really is. I would think that would play large in any litigation, probably to get a quick settlement.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, on Alabama, I was, as I've mentioned before, I'm not impressed with the coaching hires. I thought Kevin Steele and Charlie Strong were run out of Miami. And no one knew of Tommy Rees before he came to Alabama. But do you find it strange that Tommy Rees is the offensive coordinator of Notre Dame, brought in another quarterback who he thought could beat out Tyler Buchner, and now he's interviewing Tyler Buchner? Does that seem strange?
There's a lot. I think that you've just raised one of the most salient points. The guy that brought him in, the guy that everyone said designated him as the starter, felt the need to go out into the portal and get somebody else for 1 year. And by the way, he went out and got a very good quarterback. That's understandable. But you have to wonder if that was Tommy Rees or whether that was Marcus Freeman who said, we need another quarterback. And guess what happened not long afterwards? Tommy Rees left.
Hey, newsflash, one more Buffalo just went into the transfer portal.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Bryson in Tennessee. You're on the air. Hello, Bryson.
What's going on, General Feinbaum? How you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I was calling to follow up what me and you was talking about yesterday. You told me to live a little bit as a volunteer. I was telling you that, an 8-4, 9-3 season, I wouldn't look at it as underachieving. You talked me into it, man. We're going 12-0 and winning the East. Ain't that right?
Well, that's what that. See, that's the Tennessee fan I remember from back in the day. Not we're happy with 9-3.
Nah, I'm just kidding. I think we will be competing for the East, but I did want to ask you. I don't see Alabama going anything under 10-2. I know that's not their standards, and I just feel like right now LSU is kind of the hunt in the West. I mean, is that crazy too?
Well, it's not crazy, Bryson. I think there's a big debate. I mean, I have a lot of friends who looked at LSU's spring game and read a lot of good things into it. I never read too much into a spring game. But I think Alabama is still the pick to win the West. I think LSU is pretty close next to them. But the quarterback situation is puzzling. And part of the reason I think when you look at Alabama is schedule. We have it up on the screen. Who are their toughest games this year in the SEC? Tennessee, I would rank them as probably the toughest, maybe Texas A&M. But, their games, they have some manageable games. They do have a couple of, State, A&M, Auburn, Kentucky on the road. Is there a loss in there? You could argue there's a loss or two, but I think they've got a moderately favorable schedule. Thank you for the call. Will, Don is up next in Colorado. Hello, Don. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I've been wondering for a while. I mean, San Diego State University has had an excellent basketball program ever since Steve Fisher took over, and
sure.
It seems to be that it's continued. And their football program has been good, too. If you take San Diego State's football and basketball programs, I think they're ranked second in wins on the West Coast. What's it going to take? I mean, they've improved their academic standards. They built a new stadium for the football team. Their basketball team ranked second in attendance. What's it going to take for San Diego State to have an opportunity to play with the big boys?
Don, I think that day is coming. I think the Pac-12 is really out of options. And I think San Diego State probably ranks as their best option. And it may be the football card that makes the most difference. And basketball is important. We had the commissioner of the West Coast on yesterday who has Gonzaga, which is one of the premier programs in the country. But it's football that moves the television needle. And I think San Diego State being good enough in football will probably end up getting them in that league. Let's check out Wayne in Knoxville. Hey, Wayne, go right ahead.
Thank you. Quick question. Hendon Hooker, why is he not getting any of the publicity and exposure that we're looking for him to get? I mean, I may be biased, but I really feel like he's probably better than any of the top four prospects they're talking about coming out of the SEC. I don't understand.
Well,
it,
he is good. We talked to him about that a couple of weeks ago when he came by, and I think him getting hurt was the biggest reason why that is the case. Having said that, there are those who believe he'll go in the first round. I think you have to take your geography out of the equation. Bryce Young is far and away the best rated quarterback in the draft. Now, the question is, how do guys like Anthony Richardson, Will Levitz, get ranked ahead of him? And it's all subjective, but so far that seems to be the way it is. You hear the argument about Stetson Bennett. I mean, Stetson Bennett is not getting a Hendon Hooker is projected in the first round. Stetson Bennett, in some people's mocks, is not even in the draft. Thank you for the call. Will is up next from North Carolina. Will, thanks. Good afternoon.
What's going on, Paul? I'm excited about the draft tomorrow. Have you been peeking over your neighbor's back fence for any updates on the Panthers?
Yeah, I don't. I saw some Bryce Young memorabilia out there in the yard yesterday. So I'm just thinking.
You've seen his car in the driveway.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw Bryce's whole family visiting with them. So I think something's up.
Well, I can't. I'm a Panthers fan for life. So I can't wait for them to use the number one pick on Randy tomorrow. So, I mean, they'll pick some random quarterback from Appalachian State or something. But
that's funny.
Fingers
hey,
crossed.
Will, thank you. By the way, speaking of Hendon Hooker, just saw something from Pete Thamel in relation to that. And Thamel's reporting that every NFL club got a letter from Hooker's orthopedic surgeon that broke down the timeline from him having the ACL on November 19th, and it supports what we just got through saying, that he is fully recovered, and many believe he will end up in the first round. We are racing through some phone calls here. Let's continue. Anthony is up next. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. I've watched you all my life, just about. I'm 63 years old. I just wondered about why is everybody putting Alabama down? You know, you can't be top dog forever. I still like them and still root for them. I ain't going to change teams. You know, you're going to have a bad team.
Well, but here's the thing, Anthony. A bad team by Alabama standards is better than anyone else, usually. So I think it's all about the expectations. When you win six national championships in a 16, 17-year period, you lose the title game three other times. You're in the playoffs one other time. So that's what, 10 out of 16 years you play for the national championship. Your fans expect that. And that's really the standard at Alabama. Nick Saban would tell you that, and you know that.
Oh, I know that, yeah. But it's just, you know, you're going to have some teams that's like Arkansas. Everybody's coming up and, you know, getting a whole lot better.
Yeah, but that's been going on since 2008, until Kirby Smart won two in a row, nobody else has really cracked a dent. Auburn had a shot one year and won the title, had a shot another year. LSU has come and gone, but Saban has been the one constant, and I think it's as much about Kirby Smart as it is Nick Saban. There just seems to be a program that looks more like Alabama than Alabama. We'll take a short break. Your phone calls continue here at 855-242-7285.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, Samuel is up next in Kansas as we say hello to you on this Wednesday. Hello, Samuel.
Hello, Paul. How you doing, man?
We're doing great.
So, I have a question. What do you prefer, the BCS, like yesterday I talked to you about, what do you prefer? Should we bring back the computers in the 12-format playoff this year coming up?
Well, I think it's a moot question considering we already have a 12-team playoff for next year.
So next year, you mean January of this year coming up in the playoffs, coming up, we're using the 12 teams and not four teams anymore.
Yeah, Samuel, so here's the situation. All the speculation about the past is great. Doesn't matter, though. We have a 12-team playoff beginning in 2024. This season will still be under the CFP model, which involves four teams. Thank you for your call. Trapper is up next. Hello, Trapper.
Hey, Paul. You know that song, Old Billy Joe, where she said she was out chopping cotton and the brother was bailing hay? Do you know what chopping cotton is?
I should, considering I grew up in the heart of cotton, but I don't, no.
Well, they plant the cotton in a row, and then they come back about 2 weeks later, and they take a hole, and if it's too thick, they thin it. And then places where it's thin, they plant the seed. And then they'll have a kid doing it. Usually the width of the hole is what the spacing is.
Yeah.
The point I'm getting at, you do a great job on this show stopping cotton getting through the guests and all. Where it's too thick, you thin it out. Where it's thin, you put stuff in it, you plant, you know. And then they take a watermelon seeds and cantaloupe, and they plant seeds before when they
So in other words, am I the Eli Whitney of talk radio?
I'm trying to give you a compliment, buddy. You do a great job of, I call it the chopping cotton.
For those who don't know, Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin. And yeah. I have no earthly idea, Trapper, why I knew that, but I just did.
You make it uniform. That's what they do, and they're making the cotton roll uniform. And, you know, where it's too thick, they take some out. And where it ain't nothing, they fill it in. And you do that on your show.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate the compliment very, very much. And you be well. And thank you for I remember when I was a youngster downtown Memphis, you had all the cotton companies, and it was a big cotton distributor. Obviously, being in the South, that would speak for itself. Richard is in Georgia. You're on the air. Hello, Richard.
Hey, I'm a huge Lawn Sign Georgia fan, and I just want to get your take and your opinion on what you thought about the Alexander going to USC, and do you think that with the transfer portal, that, you know, people leaving and coming and going to all these schools. Do you think, you know, of course you got, you know, Prime in Colorado and Raleigh. Do you think that the Pac-12 with all the portals and big changes, do you think that'll stop the SEC from, you know, constantly getting all in?
Richard, I don't. I think it's a loss, but again, he was a backup. He never quite developed into the dominant player they thought he would be. And you know, he helps USC. I don't think his absence affects Georgia very much. I think that's a very deep team. And it's just the price of doing business. And everybody has it. Saban's lost some great players. Kirby has lost some very good players. So has pretty much every other school. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Rick is in Houston. You are on the air. Hello, Rick.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you, sir?
Very well. Thank you.
So, hey, Before I get to what I wanted to talk to you about, I just want to say, you know, I'm praying and thinking about Larry and Cheerleader. Last week and this week expired. It said a lot of stupid crap about the Tigers and Alabama, and especially the crack he had about Tiger Stadium. But, you know, I just, after hearing about Cheerleader and Larry, I just let go of it and decided not to be angry about it. But what I wanted to talk to you about, have you seen the tweets from the kids at Colorado where Primetime is denying them access to their practice film?
Yeah, I think for all the good publicity that he is getting, he's now undergoing the underbelly of that, and he's different. I don't mind him trying to restructure his program, but he will pay for this in some ways because there's a tremendous backlash.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a bad look, you know. I mean, you don't want the kids, so, you know, why not give them every little bit of help you can for them to land.
Exactly. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do as a coach.
Exactly. Hey, Paul, have a great day, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I think he's coming off looking really crass in some of this. Thank you for the call. Big Dave is up next. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. You know, Paul, you got to give it up to the University of Tennessee fans, man. I mean, it's just like the guy that called a while ago that declared Hendon Hooker as the best quarterback prospect in the SEC, you know, and I mean, every fan base has got its share of idiots, but now when you get down to, you know, elite level of delusion, nobody can top UT. And I hearken back to just prior to last season, Paul, on your very show, you know, there was an idiot from Kentucky, where I'm from, called in and made the declaration that the Wildcats were going to go 12-0, win the East, and you go to the championship. You go to the championship game, and what was that followed up by? A UT fan that declared that within 4 years, Josh Heupel would make everyone forget that Nick Saban existed. So when it comes to that level of stupidity, hey, they ain't nobody could compete with a UT fan. Thanks, Paul. Have a great day.
Yeah, and Big Dave, there's a reason for that, though, and I understand it, and I appreciate it, having spent so long in local radio and local newspapers, because every fan base cares about their team. They don't care about the other guy unless you're playing them. And so you read, you consume, and everything about your players is positive. And everybody on your team is a five-star or close to it. So you really – it's not a matter of being delusional. It's just a matter of consuming so much information about yourself, meaning your team. Thank you for the call. Randy is up next in Georgia. Randy.
Hey, Bo, how are you doing today?
Okay, Randy, how are you?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to get your thoughts on Alabama for a minute. I've been hearing a lot of talks about Alabama. I wanted to see, is it just the competition at Alabama, I mean, has got better and has caught up with Alabama, or is it the same?
Randy, I think it's a couple of things. It's the opportunity out there for players to go somewhere else, too. Alabama has lost a lot of players. I read this stat a couple of months ago that in the last four recruiting classes predating this one, Alabama had 100 players. I think we're talking about four- and five-star players. They lost 42% of them. And that is for a lot of reasons, attrition, the portal being the main two. And, you know, in the past, when we grew up, you went to a school, you weren't going anywhere else. So you gutted it out. Now you don't have to do that. Look at the guy from Notre Dame. He has a bad spring game, and he's already in the portal.
Well, I think, you know, Kirby Smart has come a long way. Kirby Smart is in the next. Nick Saban, you're saying, and I think, you know, we're seeing that, you know, how, you know, everybody wants to come to Georgia now because they're the top program, you know?
That is very true. Hey, thank you. You be well. You take care of yourself. Myth is in Kentucky on the air. Hello, Myth.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I know we're talking about maybe running backs today, but I just want to shout out about yesterday's question about the quarterbacks. I think that in my opinion, it would be Connor from Texas A&M, Devin Leary from UK, and Beck from Georgia in that order. Specifically Beck with Ladd McConkey? Is that his name, the receiver?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
I think they're in really good shape. Which one did you say you favored?
Texas A&M's quarterback. I think his name's Connor.
Connor Wegman, yeah.
I'm liking him just because of the – I think he's got a good vibe going with Jimbo.
I know one thing. At the end of the year, he looked sensational in the game against LSU, I believe it was. I mean, he looks better than Haynes King. He looks better than some of the other guys they brought in there. We will take a break. We are taking your phone call at 855-242-7285. Brian Branch started it off, the first-round pick from Alabama. They'll have a number of first-rounders tomorrow night. Could have the first two. And we will be back right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Johnny is up next in Georgia. Johnny, thank you. Welcome in.
Yes, Paul. I was wondering what you thought about the C.J. Stroud coming out today saying he's a football player, not a test taker, with his low S2 score.
Yeah, what did he say again, Johnny?
He said, I'm a football player, not a test taker.
Yeah, well, that's good, but some of those NFL clubs care about your aptitude, and I'm really interested in him. He's there's either something legitimate here or there is a smear campaign, because he's gone from potentially number one 6 weeks ago to falling like a rock. And that always happens to someone, and I don't know why it's happening to him, because I think he's a great player.
Do you think he's going to fall to mid-first round because of it?
I don't think he'll go that far, but because I just think he's too good. The Panthers legitimately were looking at him on the same level as Bryce Young. That tells you that if you take away all the nonsense that happens around the draft, he scores very high in terms of what his ability is. Forget what he puts on it. I mean, some people just do not test well.
I appreciate it. Appreciate the time of the day.
I'm one of them. Otherwise, I'd be a nuclear physicist. Ernie is up next in Florida. Hello, Ernie. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, this is Ernie. I love your show. I just have one question for you. What do you think Florida State's chances are making the top four next year?
They're pretty good. I think they have about a three-game season. LSU, Clemson, and there's somebody in the middle, could be Miami, but I think they have a real shot. I like everything about what Mike Norvell is doing. I think he's finally broken through. 2 years ago, I think his job was on the line, but that is too great a program to be mired in mediocrity, and I think they have finally gotten through it. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Chip is up next on the other end of the state. Hello, Chip.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how you doing today, sir?
Chip, we're doing okay. Thank you.
My question is, I watched the show every day, of course, but I was watching about a week and a half ago, and Florida was picked to go anywhere from 4 to 8 victories. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Georgia fan, by the way, but I just wanted to know what you thought Florida's chances were in the SEC this upcoming year, sir.
I think they're pretty mixed, Chip. I don't like their quarterback room. I think the schedule is just downright ridiculous. And, you know, you say, well, why? Why is it such a hard schedule? It starts with the opening game. They play at Utah. I know they beat Utah last year, barely, in Florida. But the chances of winning that game are pretty slim. And they got a shot with Tennessee at home. But if they can't turn that game, then they go to Kentucky in a few weeks, which has been a problem for them. South Carolina, a game they won last year, but in Columbia, not great. Georgia, that's a loss. And then at LSU, at Missouri, Florida State. So you look at the end of that, you look at the second half of that season, and South Carolina on the road, Georgia and Jacksonville, Arkansas at home, at LSU, Missouri, and Florida State at home. Yeah, they could navigate that 4-2, maybe better. They could also lose all 6 games.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was wondering. I came along, to be honest with you. I'm close to your age, so I remember when the Florida Georgia game was such a big rivalry at the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, if I'm allowed to say that on your show, Mr. Paul.
I did.
But it was always, you know, maybe Florida win, maybe Georgia win. I just was wondering if Billy Napier could bring them back to that kind of rivalry again, sir.
Well, Chip, here's what he needs to do. He needs to do it quickly. I don't mean that he's under pressure. He's not. He has the support of that university, Scott Strickland, who hired him, new president down there, which is not going to factor in immediately. But he can't have another bad season, because that affects you in recruiting. And I think he's doing well in recruiting, but he needs to keep that ship going in a correct direction and fast. Let's check out Isaac in Rome, Georgia. Isaac.
Oh, how's it going, Paul?
Very well, Isaac. Isaac, thank you.
Hey, thanks for taking my call today. I got a couple questions for you. The first is about the NFL draft, and the second one is about the Georgia quarterback room. For my first one, what do you think is going to go – who do you think is going to go first in the draft? Bryce Young, Jalen Carter, or C.J. Stroud?
I think it seems almost automatic right now that Bryce Young will be first, and then the question is who's second. And we're talking about the Houston Texans. Do they like C.J. Stroud, or do they go for a defensive player, Jalen Carter or Will Anderson? I think that's what it comes down to for number two. We'll take a break. We have 3 hours to go. We hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.